Let me just pray as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the promises of the gospel that you have given to us in the Bible. Thank you that we can spend time today reading of those promises, reading of what happened with Jesus, with his resurrection, as we turn to your word again. Father, please would you help us to listen. Please would you help us to hear what you say to us through your word today, that we may know the power of Jesus all the more and the joy of his resurrection. And Father, we pray that as a result, we would put our trust in Jesus for our lives, not just for now, but for all eternity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last 2 years, we've been confronted with something that we really like to try and hide away, keep hidden, not go anywhere near. But we haven't been able to, have we, over the last 2 years? Death has been facing us every day. Do you remember those dark days of the pandemic where the numbers of deaths were just rising astronomically day by day? You could see, couldn't you, the daily figures, the number of people who had died. Tens of thousands of people. It was awful to read about. Maybe that's something that you've been personally affected by. The death of someone you knew, the death of someone you loved. It's such a horrible and sad thing that we've faced. Tens of thousands of deaths, tens of thousands of funerals. But not all deaths, obviously, come from COVID. We're all heading to that point of death, whether it's from COVID, whether it's from something else. You see, death really is like an enemy that day by day gains ground on us. It gets nearer and nearer to us with every day that passes, and there's nothing we can do about it. The philosopher Blaise Pascal wrote this about death. He imagined it in this way. He says, imagine a number of men in chains, all under sentence of death, some of whom are each day butchered in the sight of others. Those remaining see their own condition in that of their fellows, and looking at each other with grief and despair, await their turn. This is an image of the human condition. It highlights the deeply distressing reality of the world that we live in, doesn't it? Death comes to us all. It's indescribably sad, and we can't do anything to get away from it. That's why we have so many funerals. So many funerals here in the UK, so many funerals across the world, so many funerals because everyone dies. Everyone dies. But I wonder, have you ever imagined a funeral that will actually be good? A funeral that you would love to see happen? A funeral that you would welcome? That you'd really celebrate? I wonder if you've ever considered a funeral like that. The Bible has. You see, the Bible talks about a celebration feast because something has died. A celebration because something has died. It's pictured in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. This is what is written about that feast, about that celebration. Isaiah writes, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wines, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Did you notice the occasion for that feast, for that celebration? The death of death. The death of death. Death is pictured as a shroud that enfolds all people, a sheet that covers all nations. Death has got its grip upon the whole world, upon every person who lives, who's ever lived. But here is the promise of God. God promises he will swallow up death forever. Swallow up death forever. And when it happens, it will be the greatest celebration, the best of feasts that you could ever imagine. This is the funeral that we want to see happen, celebrating the death of death. We're going to turn to our passage in 1 Corinthians 15 now. And this passage builds on that picture that Isaiah saw. It's a passage that shows us how the death of death comes about and what it means for me and you and all of our futures. If you've got a Bible, just turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look from verse 50 to 57. Paul writes, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are always changes when something is defeated, when an enemy is removed from power. But what changes when death dies? When what's undone when death is defeated? When death's grip is loosened, what effect will that have on us? Well, there's three things I think we see in our passage. And the first thing that happens when death dies is this. We will be changed. We will be changed. I wonder if you notice the way our passage points that out. It points out that there's something very wrong with us as we are at the moment. Just have a look at verse 50. We read there, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Sometimes you'll get packages of food, and across the packaging for that food, you will see on it written in big letters, perishable item, perishable item. Actually, that's a lot like us, isn't it? We're humans, we're living now, but actually you could write across all of us, perishable item. We won't last forever. Our bodies as they are at the moment can't last forever. I wonder if you saw in the news last week, there were some scientists who have developed a new technique to stop skin from aging. They took skin cells from a 53-year-old and transformed them to be the equivalent of skin cells from a 23-year-old. There was a lot of excitement, the potential for curing age-related diseases. But no matter what technology breakthroughs there are in skin cells, it can't solve our biggest problem, can it? No matter how old or young our skin looks, we'll still all die. We're all perishable. So if we want to live forever, if we want a place in the new heavens and the new earth that God is preparing for us, there needs to be a whole-scale change. We need to be clothed with different bodies. We need to have bodies that won't die. And that's exactly what God promises, isn't it? Have a look at verses 51 to 53 again. Paul writes, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. God promises a big change. It's staggering to read, isn't it? The perishable will be clothed with the imperishable. Death confronts us all, but here's a way to live beyond death. and enter eternity. A few years ago, Johnny and Jemima, who are with us this morning, went to visit the Sky Garden in London, a beautiful garden at the top of a tower in London. The only thing was, Johnny hadn't realised that the dress code, smart casual, didn't mean shorts and his famous red trainers. When he got there, you were turned away, weren't you, Johnny, I think? Not allowed in. He was wearing the wrong clothes. That's us at the moment. We're wearing the wrong clothes for eternity. We have perishable bodies, but God's got it covered. He will cover us with new clothes. We will be changed so that we can enter God's new creation. We can belong in eternity forever and live with him. We will be changed. Here's the first reason why there can be such celebration and joy at the death of death. We will be changed. The perishable will clothe themselves with the imperishable. Real hope in the face of death. But there's a second thing as well we see that happens when death dies, and that is the trumpet will sound. The trumpet will sound. Boys, you've got a picture on your sheets, haven't you, of trumpets? Excellent. Okay. You're colouring in the trumpet. Brilliant. Have a look at verses 51 to 52 again. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. I wonder if you remember the 17th of April last year. You might remember what happened when I tell you about it. The Queen was sitting alone in St. George's Chapel. It was the funeral of her husband, Prince Philip. It was a graphic picture of the grief and the pain and the isolation that death brings. And at the end of that funeral service, the buglers of the Royal Marines and the state trumpeters of the Household Cavalry sounded the last post and reveille. It was a harrowing sound as that music echoed out through the empty St. George's Chapel. The last post is a tune that was traditionally played in military camps at the end of the day, end of the battle, as the soldiers went to sleep. It's now used to signify the end of a life, the flag coming down. It's a somber trumpet call, isn't it? It's eerie, overflowing with sadness. Here is a trumpet call that is so different. You see, when the Bible speaks about a trumpet call, it's a victorious trumpet call. It's the call of Jesus returning as God's triumphant King. So when we read here in 1 Corinthians 15, the trumpet will sound, we can be sure what's about to happen next. It's a jubilant call announcing that Jesus is coming. The king that has defeated death for good. Here is a wonderful trumpet call. You see, it's no longer the sad lament of a trumpet playing at a funeral, death claiming another victim. Instead, this is a triumphant call, announcing that death itself has become the victim. The great funeral is coming. The first thing that happens at the death of death, we will be changed. The second thing, the trumpet will sound, the victorious king has come. Death has been defeated. The third thing, death will lose its sting. Death will lose its sting. Have a look at verses 54 to 55. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Wonder if you remember the last time you were stung by a bee. Do you remember what happens? The bee comes along. Have you never been stung by a bee, Levi? No, that's quite good, isn't it? Pardon? Daddy has. What happened? Theo's been stung. Chris, what happened when you were stung with a bee? Can you remember?
It hurt.
It hurts. It swells up. And what happened to the stinger?
Stuck in my arm.
Stuck in your arm. Okay. The bee comes along, it stings you, and the stinger stays in your flesh. Okay. The stinger is the thing that causes the pain. The stinger is the thing that causes the danger, so to speak. Without the stinger, the bee can't do anything. Tell me later, Theo, okay? Without the stinger, the bee can't do any harm. Our verses show us that death is only a threat to us because of the sting that it has. It's only a threat to us because of the sting that it has. And verse 56 tells us what that sting is. Have a look there. It says, the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. A few months ago, at the start of the Ukraine-Russia conflict, there were several nations that declared that they were neutral. They weren't siding with Russia. They weren't siding with Ukraine. They said they were neutral countries. You might think that's your position with God, that you're neutral. You might call yourself agnostic. You're not a true believer, but you're not really against God. You're happy just to live a good life. But if, as the Bible shows us, God is the creator and the Lord of the whole world, there is no such thing as being neutral when it comes to God. You're either for God or you're against God. You either love and listen to God, you honor him in your life, or you ignore him and shut him out. You don't really care what he says. That's what sin is. And that's how we all live. And once infected with sin, once we've been stung by sin, our passage is clear what it leads to, isn't it? Once we've been stung, death is the inescapable consequence of sin. Sobering news. It explains why the world that we live in is as it is, full of death. Ultimately, we can trace the origin of death back to our sin, back to turning against our Creator. Sin is the sting that death uses to overpower us, to condemn us to death. But our verses show us how that sting is removed, what leads to sin and death being defeated. Have a look at verses 56 and 57 again. Wonderful verses to read. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory comes through Jesus. Victory comes through Jesus. Jesus does something to take away the power, the sting of sin that condemns us to death. He beats death at its own game. How? Well, we're told earlier in the chapter. We read it a few minutes ago. Have a look at verse 3. Paul writes, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture." You see, Easter itself didn't escape death, did it? Jesus' death is right at the center of Easter. Easter celebrates Jesus taking the stinger for us, paying for our sins, dying to take the punishment that we deserved for our sins. That barb, the stinger of sin, being implanted in Jesus himself. And just like a bee, when that stinger is used up, there is nothing left to cause anyone else any harm. Because Jesus died for our sin, death is now like a bee without a stinger. But you might say, well, why do people still die? Why does it look as though death still wins? Well, because although the victory has been won, the full effects of that victory will only be seen, will only be felt when Jesus returns, when the trumpet sounds. That's why verse 54 is all written in the future tense. When the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes back, We will be changed. That's when our perishable bodies will be clothed with the imperishable. That's when the victory comes. And that's why we can then say, death has been swallowed up in victory. In fact, we've already seen proof of that coming victory, of that coming celebration, haven't we? We've already seen a man go to death and come out the other side resurrected. We've already seen the victory over death being demonstrated by Jesus himself. That's what we're remembering. That's what we're celebrating today, the day that we remember Jesus' resurrection. That's why chapter 15 is so full of talk about Jesus' resurrection. Verses 5 and 6, how Jesus appeared to Peter and the disciples and then over 500 people. It reminds us that the victory has already been won, already secured. Death really has lost its sting. It can't, it won't hold on to people in the end. Jesus's resurrection means we can be certain victory over death is coming. Victory over death is coming. The greatest of funerals is on its way. The question is, will you be celebrating when that funeral comes? When the death of death comes, will you be on the right side? Will you be on the side of victory? I wonder if you notice, this passage isn't written to everyone. At verse 50, Paul addresses brothers and sisters. Verse 22, Paul talks about in Christ, all will be made alive. It's a shorthand way of talking about Christians. Those who've given up on the myth of neutrality, they've acknowledged that they've turned away from the Lord, the Creator, and they now need the rescue that Jesus brings. They need the rescue of Jesus taking the sting for them. Back in May 2019, I went to Wembley with tens of thousands of other Derby County fans. On the way back from that match, as we walked back to the coach, there were two very different sets of fans. There was only one set of fans who were celebrating, and it wasn't us, I'm afraid. The fans who were celebrating are those who were on the winning side, those on the side of victory, those who could look forward to life in the Premier League. That's a trivial example, really. But that's how it will be when Jesus returns. It's only those who've turn to the King, who are on the side of victory, who will be celebrating. We started by thinking about that grim picture of death. We see it happen to others. We see the numbers of deaths reported in the news. The dread of death getting closer day by day. The world has no solution to death. No real effective hope in the face of death. No reason to celebrate death, but God has promised something to celebrate about death. The defeat of death, the death of death. There is a glad funeral that we can look forward to. And you see now why we can be sure of that day coming? One day the trumpet will sound, Jesus will come back, we will be changed, the perishable will clothe itself with the imperishable, and death will lose its sting for good. Victory over death is coming. The resurrection has proved it's on its way. Which side will you be on when it happens? Will you be on the side of victory, on the side of Jesus, the King, or on the side of death, which is defeated? Victory over death is coming. The greatest funeral, the greatest feast and celebration of all time is on its way. Let's pray and give thanks for that. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we know that in this world, death is all around us. We can't hide ourselves from it. We can't protect ourselves from it. It comes to us all. But thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus that shows us why and how there is hope in the face of death. Thank you that because you raised Jesus, there is certainty of the same for us. Thank you that because you raised Jesus, there is victory over death. And we can look forward to that time when death will be defeated for good. Thank you that when that time comes, the trumpet will sound, Jesus will come back, and death will lose its sting for good. Please, Father, would you help us to be on the right side when Jesus returns? Help us to be on the side of Jesus so that we can look forward to the death of death and being raised to be with you forever as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing two final songs, celebrating what we've just been thinking about from the Bible. The first one is the resurrection hymn, See What a Morning. We sing in that song, death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And then we're going to sing, Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son, endless is the victory, thou or death has won. Let's stand and sing together. Oh.